Thank you, Sam. Good morning, everybody. Well, it's good to be back in more ways than one from Florida. I will say that it was beautiful out there, 80-degree weather. I wish it could be here. Hopefully it will be here soon, so that would be a blessing. First off, I just wanted to lift prayer up again for Alana's dad, for Mary Carpenter, for Anita Donaldson, and Alana's friend, too, that's got cancer. That's terrible that they got to go through this. But, Father, we just pray for these people right now. We just thank you, Lord, for prayer. And we just ask that you touch their lives and heal them up. And most importantly, they have salvation in Jesus Christ. So we pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Today's message, I'm usually speaking on topics most preachers don't want to speak on, such as hell and this and that, or heaven. But today is going to be a fun message that I researched, and I'll share it with the brothers and sisters. It's a feel-good message. It's a motivating message as a believer. It's on heaven. Heaven is our eternal home, not down here on earth, but it is where the believer goes to be with the Lord Jesus Christ for eternity. And there's a lot of facts on hell that I looked up and I'm going to share today with you so we can have a better understanding on what we've got ready to look forward to when we die. First off, heaven, most of us have a picture in our minds what heaven is really like. Thank you, Sam. Can you hear me out there? I don't know if it's okay. Okay, I'll just keep going. Pearly gates. People think of heaven with streets of gold or a holy city. Angels, God's throne. But what do we actually really know about heaven? And what does the Bible say about it? What is fact and what is fiction? We all have questions on where we go when we die. Is heaven real or just a figment of our imagination? If heaven is real and God is good, why wouldn't he let everybody into heaven? How do I know me and my loved ones will be there? See, God has answers if we know where to look. Can I go to heaven if I'm a good person? There's more to heaven than we think, and it can change our lives. What does the Bible say about heaven? The Bible says we will spend an eternity there. Wouldn't we want to find out everything about it if that's where we're going? How do we get to heaven? Well, first we have to die. Or if Jesus comes back and raptures us out of here. Worldwide, did you know that three people die every second? One, two, three. One, two, three. Every 3 seconds, people die. 180 people die every minute. Nearly 11,000 people die every hour. And 250,000 people die every day. Isn't that hard to fathom, that many people dying every day, all day? And from what the Bible says, they either go to heaven or hell when they die. It's one or the other. There's nothing in between. In our country, people have lost interest in all of this. They don't really care what happens when they die. In 2003, there was a Harris poll, and that revealed that 83% of people believed in heaven, and 63% they expected to go there when they die. But you don't hear many sermons today from preachers on heaven or hell. You won't hear about the paradise of those who put their trust in Christ. But unfortunately, people try and make their heaven here on earth. They don't trust in the eternal heaven. People get the cars, the big homes, the luxury locations to fill the voids in their heart. I just recently spent time in Fort Lauderdale with my mother. And it was a blissful time out there, and I had a chance to kind of take it all in. I saw the A1A, the gorgeous weather, and what I saw was the magnificent landscape and the homes out there. And, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that, but I was looking into the eyes and the souls of a lot of the people out there driving these expensive vehicles and living in these houses and just, you know, it's just, I just didn't see, you know, what the Bible talks about is, you know, a spirit-filled person longing for heaven. A lot of these people, not just say there, but just the example of they're trying to create this heaven, which a lot of them have, but they don't have Christ to fill their heart, or and they're not saved, and this is their heaven down here. I've always said that a lot of people that have everything that don't have Christ in their hearts, that this is their heaven, this is their physical heaven down here. That's why they've lived a phenomenal life down here. They've had every car, every house, every luxury, and unfortunately, at the end of the day, they find out that they were foolish what they were doing down here, and they end up in hell. As we could see, you can do anything you want and try to create heaven on earth, but it is impossible. It's just impossible compared to what the believer has waiting for when they die. The richest man on earth tried it, and we know what happened to him. And the wisest man on earth tried it down here. And they discovered that it was all vanity down here. The rich man died, and he lived sumptuously every day and was buried. It doesn't say the rich man died and went to heaven. It said the rich man died and was buried and went to hell. It doesn't say died. Solomon tried everything in the book to find heaven, but in the end he said it was all vanity or chasing the wind. That's exactly what happens down here. As Solomon's case, he's been given wisdom, and he's tried everything down here to find that eternal peace with God, but couldn't find it with the luxuries of the world. God has placed in our hearts eternity. He's placed a hunger for it in each and every one of us, a desire to be with him. That's why he created us. A desire to be with him. Colossians 3:1 says, if you are risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. Affections mean a fondness or a liking. Where other people in our affections, they have it in their cars, their homes, their jobs, their hobbies. And that becomes an idol. I mean, we see that a lot now, don't we? I mean, especially like car shows or something. I'm not saying that bad, but people have a lot of affection. They have a liking. They even name, you know, their cars after a girl or a person. And it's sad to see that. It really is, because their affections and their hearts are directed towards these objects that mean absolutely nothing. Or their money. Money's probably the worst one of them all, for the love of money is the root of all evil. People love money and they think about it and are obsessed with it and their affections are about it. Another one could be someone's job. You know, they work all these crazy hours. They work 12, 15 hours a day, and they've got absolutely no life, and they're just obsessed with it. I've seen some people in the car industry that work for one of the major Ford, Chrysler, or GM, that's all they do, is 7 days a week. They work 10, 12 hours a day. That's all they do. They're wrapped up in their job, and it's taken over their lives. Or a hobby. Nothing wrong with hobbies, but if you do something too much and the Lord takes second place to him, you know, it's an idol. And God takes second place to nobody. And we can never, ever put him in second place or third place. He's got to be first, and he's got to have a prominence in our lives. Did you know that heaven is mentioned over 500 times in the Bible? 500 times in the Bible heaven is mentioned. Did you know that there are three heavens? People think there's a heaven, but there's actually three heavens. The Apostle Paul recounts how he was caught up to a third heaven, which is called paradise. Paul saw the third heaven, so there must be two other heavens. So when I researched these other heavens, I learned something in some of these passages we're going to read right now. We're first going to look at Isaiah 55:9. The first heaven, it reads, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven." So we see the first heaven is the atmospheric heaven where the birds and the clouds are above. That's where the rain and the snow come from. That's the first heaven. As we look at Genesis 1:20, then God said, "Let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens." So now we're getting kind of like a picture of the levels here. One, two, and then the third we're going to get to. But as we see, so the first heaven is when we walk outside and look up in the skies and the stars, and we see what God has created as the first heaven. The second heaven, Genesis 1:14 through 17 says, "Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for the signs and seasons and for days and years." The second heaven refers to the outer space that contains the sun, the moon, the stars, and all of the galaxies other than our own. I mean, it's just amazing to think about that. The stars, the galaxies, and the moon that God created. We still want to talk about evolution for Bill Maher and Bill Nye, the fools that they are, that a monkey created all this stuff. Is that right? Are we really going to believe that? Only a supernatural, powerful God can create all this stuff. God is a spirit. We should worship him in spirit. Our minds can't conceive all of this stuff about what he's created. But we do have his holy word, the Holy Bible, to teach us. And that's all we can go by. Anybody that goes by anything other than that and has got this conception, we just the Big Bang Theory, we came and it just all happened is utterly just beyond ridiculous. And they call these people, they call themselves scholars and educated men and brilliant geniuses, but they couldn't be more foolish in their thinking. Now, this is the best one. Let's look at the third heaven. 2 Corinthians 12:2-4 says, "I know a man." Now, this is the Apostle Paul speaking. Now, listen to his words. "I know a man," he's referring to himself in Christ, "who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or whether out of the body, I do not know. God knows. Such a one was caught up to a third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which is not lawful to a man to utter." Wow. Wow. How can we take that in our eternal home, what he just said? Inexpressible words. You can't even, there's nothing you can say. But just stand there in absolute awe, which is not lawful to a man to even utter. That is absolutely amazing. It's like when Jesus said to the thief on the cross, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Paul is saying there's something beyond the atmospheric heavens, something beyond the stellar heavens. There's a third heaven, and that is the heaven where God himself resides. Paul, he said over and over again, we are told that God is in heaven. You know, our Father who art in heaven, God is in heaven. Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." You know, we've been talking a lot about witnessing to people and trying to share the gospel and share the good news. And it's not easy to witness to somebody or share your faith, especially family members, because I know some of us out there right now are struggling because a lot of the family members are not saved. My family's pretty much like that. I mean, they don't go to church, and, you know, I'm not going to judge them, but, you know, some people can kind of get the idea that they're not saved, but, you know, they could watch what you're doing, and you just, and maybe a lot of times it's not somebody in the family that plants the seed. It could be a friend, it could be a neighbor, it could be another situation. I mean, I believe my dad is in heaven right now because of what Dan did. God used Dan to go witness to my dad. And over a period of time, my dad got to trust Dan. See, a lot of people, when they hear the gospel, or they talk about Jesus. I mean, even some of my customers at work or people I just talk about, as soon as you bring it up, the devil attacks right away. He just says, cut it. I don't want to hear about it. Don't bother me with that stuff. I don't want to hear about heaven. And what it is, this is what it is they harden their heart. That's exactly what it is right there. For somebody to come to Christ, they've got to humble themselves. You know, if I were to talk to some, they're stubborn. To talk to somebody that's so hard-hearted is really, really difficult. Unless they listen and they soften their heart and they reason. They reason with what the situation is. You know, they don't want to, you know, you don't talk about death. People don't want to talk about going to, you know, to die and going to a funeral and leaving this earth. That's something they don't want to discuss. But let's reason. God says let's reason with the situation here. You know, you're going to die and you're going to be judged, you know, and they need to soften their heart. You know, my dad was real hard-hearted and stuff like that, and, you know, it was hard for me to even talk to him, but I believe that, you know, God sent Dan over to talk to him for me or for God and give him some tracks. And, you know, it could be, you know, like I said, you know, my sisters, you know, they need to hear the word, and it could be somebody out there, or all you can do as a Christian is just keep focus on the Lord, keep your walk solid so they may see that, and hopefully you'll make an impression on them. Psalm 11:4 says, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven, so he resides in the third heaven, the heaven of heavens, not the first two. The third heaven is where we are going someday to be with God and to be with Jesus Christ for eternity. How about the place of heaven? Let's turn to John 14. If you got your Bibles, look at this. This is a wonderful passage that Jesus teaches us. If you have your Bibles, turn to John 14. And we're going to read 1 through 3. And these are wonderful words of encouragement for the believer. It says 14, starting at verse 1, it says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Oh, what comforting words. These are powerful scriptures, Jesus is saying. He goes to prepare a place for us. See, when Jesus announced he was going to die to his disciples and be resurrected and returned to heaven, his disciples had a hard time with all this stuff. They were filled with anxiety and worry, and they wanted to know why Jesus was doing this. And then Jesus gave them the truth. And he says, I don't want your hearts to be troubled. He doesn't want us to worry. Worrying does not add anything to the situation. He's going to prepare a mansion for them and will come back and get them. Now, how wonderful is that? How encouraging is that, that we already have a place and a mansion prepared for us as we're talking right now? You know that? As soon as you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have a reservation already reserved for us in heaven. I mean, that's unbelievable. So he says he went to heaven to prepare a place for us. Heaven is referred to as a place. It's a place. Some metaphors refer to heaven as a kingdom or a celestial city or a country. But the best one Jesus says is his Father's house. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus says this is his Father's house. This is God's house. There's nothing that beats that. You can call it other things, or people could say this and that, but when Jesus says it's his Father's house, there's nothing compared to that. How blessful we are, how Jesus promises us who put their trust in him and place for us in heaven that is his Father's house, and we are privileged to live there forever and ever. Heaven is not an imaginary place. It's a place for us. Where is heaven? Heaven is up. Even Satan knows where heaven's at. Now, if we look at Isaiah 14:13, it says, "For you have said in your heart, I will ascend." Ascend means going up into heaven. "I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north." Well, it's too bad that Satan's thinking all this stuff, because it'll never, ever happen. But he is aware of where heaven is. But where he's going will be to the bottomless pit, the furthest down you can go instead of upwards. Heaven is a precious, precious place. Followers of God and Jesus Christ will be there. Hebrews 9:24 says, "For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, physical hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." The only reason we're going to heaven is Jesus Christ, who's washed us with his blood for our sins. Without him, we would have no access to heaven whatsoever. He will be there to appear in the presence of God for us. We'll be able to see Jesus, see the nail prints, see the sides, and actually touch them and have fellowship with him. You'll see your Lord, you'll see your loved ones in heaven. Did you guys know that? Bob will see his mother. Danny will see his dad, Jerry. Joe Bowman will see Harriet Bowman. Don Bowman will see Harriet Bowman. Ray will see his dad. Beverly will see her mother. Isn't that a wonderful thing to think about? I remember when Harriet wrote letters before she passed away. An encouraging thing that she said in her letter to me, and probably to Joe and Don, and that she'd see us again. And I thought, man, when I read that, I just felt so, you know, because it's so weird, you know, when somebody dies, you're never going to see them again down here. You're never going to see them again down here. But in eternity, they're with Jesus Christ and in heaven, and that's where you're going, because that's where they're at. You're going to see them again. So when she wrote that in her letter, it was heartfelt. It was heartwarming to think that. First Peter 1:3-4 says, "When we are born again, we have become an heir of God. We now have an inheritance that is waiting and has gone before us, reserved in heaven forever." You know that as soon as you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have an inheritance. Isn't that amazing? God has made us an heir. We are an heir of God. That's absolutely unbelievable. An heir of God. And we have an inheritance reserved for us in heaven. A priceless inheritance. Our residence is in heaven. It's not down here. Philippians 3:20 says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." If you think about that, we are just pilgrims down here, just visiting, just going through this, just passing through. We are actually strangers down here. You think about that. We go about our lives, but we have nothing to do with this place. We're just passing through. We're strangers in a strange land, and our real residence is in heaven. And that's what we have to think about. Our reward is in heaven. Matthew 5:12 says, "Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven." Did you know that there's five crowns that is laid up for us that we can earn while we are down here on earth? Did you know that they existed, these crowns? And that we will throw them at the Lord Jesus Christ's feet when they put it on our head to say that we are not worthy of this? Our riches are in heaven. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to Matthew 6, and we're going to read 19 to 21. Our riches are in heaven. Matthew 6. Starting at verse 19. It says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth." This is Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ, speaking these words. "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Amazing words that the Lord shares with us. Don't, you know, do just the opposite, you know, down here. I mean, you know, when we read these words, we should just think, hey, you know, I don't need the best car out there. I don't need to keep up with the Joneses next door, my next door neighbors, or have the best clothes, or have the best whatever that you set your heart towards. Because remember, it's just going to burn up. It's just going to rust and rot, as we see here in the scripture. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. That makes total sense, don't it? I mean, Paul says we've brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we're taking nothing out with us. Amen? Right? Amen. Thank you, Bob. Yeah, amen. We're taking nothing with us out of here. I remember when I was younger, I used to want the best clothes, and I used to waste so much money on going to 12 Oaks Mall and getting these expensive clothing and spending $300-$400 or whatever. This is years ago or something like that. And now, after reading this stuff, if I can go to the Salvation Army and get a $6 pair of jeans and a $2 shirt, I'm fine. And I think back, what a waste of money, of stuff that is just a pile of junk that I could get at the Salvation Army for $20, because I'm not. So now Jesus has taught us to not store this stuff up and invest in all this stuff, because it's going to burn up anyway. Our reservation is in heaven. Revelation 21:27 says, "But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." The Book of Life is a registry. Is your name there? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Because if you haven't and you reject him, then you're going to have to meet him as your judge. Luke 10:20 says, "Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subjected to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." Do you have a reservation in heaven? That's how we should rejoice, because our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, if somebody's name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, we have a real problem. They have a real problem. Now, I ran across this story that I really, as I close here, another 5 or 10 minutes, I said, well, this is kind of a long story, but this is a good story. I got to share this story. It's so amazing that I'm just blown away by this. And it gives you a glimpse of what it's like to stand before God and be judged when you die. And it's pretty scary. But this is a true story. And so I'm going to share this with you guys right now. So kind of pay attention. I'm going to read it to you. And we're going to find out get a glimpse of what it's like to be rejected, thinking you're saved and you're not saved. Okay, here we go. Ruthanna Metzger is a professional singer. And she tells a story of importance of having your name written in the book. Several years ago, Ruthanna was asked to sing at a wedding in Seattle where she lives. In her story, she tells of what this wedding was like. A plush, posh wedding, very extravagant, wealthy of the wealthiest of people are there. One of the wealthiest families in the city's daughter was getting married. And she was asked to be the soloist or the singer at this wedding. And she was excited about the invitation for two reasons. First of all, it was quite an event. No doubt about it. This is the best ever and the most extravagant wedding she was ever going to be at. Second was the reception, for the wedding was going to be on the top two floors of, listen to this, a Columbian Tower, the tallest building of the Northwest, this wedding. It was exclusive, a high rise all the way to the top, no holds barred, nothing left undone. And a very, very exclusive, you know, they had to select these people carefully, and nobody was just going into this wedding. She couldn't help but think how much fun it was going to be for her and her husband Roy to be going to this reception. So when the wedding came and it was over, they drove down to the towers and they went to the reception desk. And there was a tuxedoed dressed maitre d' there who was greeting everyone and offering exotic hors d'oeuvres and champagne and just a all-around reception before the reception. Now, the bride and the groom arrived, and they cut a ribbon as they entered into the elevators to take them up to the top floors to where the reception was going to begin and where the guests were going and ushered in. They entered into the elevators to go to the top floors where the guests were. As they announced the wedding feast was about to begin, at the top of the stairs to enter into the elevator, the maitre d' was standing there with a bound book, greeting guests outside the doors. And he said, as they came and went through, he says, "May I have your name, please?" He said. And the soloist says, "Well, I am Ruthanna Metzger, and this is my husband, Roy." Well, so he goes down with this book and he searched the M's, didn't find it, and said, "I'm not finding it. Would you spell it again?" And she goes, "Certainly, I'll do it nice and slow. It's Ruthanna Metzger." And she said it very slowly and calmly, And says, and then the maitre d' looked at the book again, going like this. Let me see. Metzger. Was it a Metzger? No, I don't see that. Metzger. So he searched the M's again and said, I'm not finding it. Would you, after she spelled it again, the book, after searching the book, the maitre d' looked up and said, I'm very sorry, but your name is not here. Well, Ruth Anna said, there must be some type of mistake. I was the singer at the wedding. The maitre d' answered and says, I don't care who you are or what you did. If your name is not written in the book, you cannot enter the banquet. He then motioned to the waiter, come on over here, and said, would you please show these two people to the service elevator? And they were ushered past the lavish shrimp, carved sculptures, smoked salmon, white tuxedoed string orchestra to the nines, everything on earth that you could imagine of excellence, they were going by looking in and not entering in. They ushered them into the elevator and pushed G for what? Parking garage. After locating the car and driving out and driving miles in silence, her and her husband Roy, Roy reached over and put his hand on Ruth's knee and asked, sweetheart, what happened? She said, when the invitations arrived, I was jammed up busy. I never bothered to RSVP. And besides, I was the singer. And surely I could go to the reception without an RSVP. Ruth Ann started to cry, only because she missed the most lavish wedding reception she's ever been invited to. But also because she suddenly had a small taste of what it will be like someday for people as they stand before Jesus Christ and they find their names not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's a pretty horrifying story, if you ask me. I mean, I saw Alana cringe, and I cringed too when I was reading this. I mean, that, my friends, is absolutely horrifying, and that's something that you can't get out of. That's why it is so very important to be born again, to have Jesus Christ as your Savior, and there'll be no mistakes. This lady made the mistake of not RSVPing. A lot of people go through their lives every day thinking they're saved and not saved and have not trusted in Christ. And it is important that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life so you have assurance, eternal insurance. Let's not make that mistake of what Ruth Ann Metzger made of not following up that. When God calls and the Holy Spirit has convicted you to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, don't put that off. Today is the day of salvation. And for all these people out there that have lost ones and are not saved, don't give up on them. Because the good thing is God still is taking reservations. And as we speak, He is. It's never too late for these people. But it's a horrifying thing to think about. So as we take this home with us today, let us consider these facts and just be thankful that we have Jesus Christ as our Savior. Father, we thank You for this time together. I thank You for sharing the word out there with everybody, Lord, and we give You the glory, Lord, always. And Lord, as we read here, we just pray that nobody ends up on the other end of not getting into heaven. We pray that they come to Christ. I pray for Alana's dad. That's hard. I just pray for not only his salvation, but his health. And I just pray for other people out there that have got family members that are not saved, Lord. That's the most important thing, Lord, you. And keep us focused on your word every day, Lord. Thank you for letting us see your word about heaven and where we're going to spend eternity, Lord. What a luxury, what a blessing, Lord, we have to look forward to. Let us rejoice and be happy, Lord. Let us not take our eyes off of that. Let us not look around here and just be depressed, Lord, because that's all this place can be, is depressing. But our eternal home is what we strive for, Lord, each and every day, Lord. Bring us back tonight, Lord, for another message from Peter. We thank you for that. Drive us home in safety, Lord. Praise you and thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, buddy. Zach.